Jhené and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Well, I mean, if we're going to sit here and compliment my glasses, I guess there's only one thing left to do. Bust out the Leopard Boys today. Multiple pairs, multiple ways, this all pairs well on an audio medium. It's Jhené Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line. This is the everybody love everybody energy that we covet on this show, as Jhené makes a face at me already, which lets me know maybe I have strayed now.
Look, we've been waiting for this day. Monday through Thursday, we
work.
And on Friday, we
twerk.
And today is
Friday.
Oh, gosh. What the heck are you doing? No. What is today?
It's too damn Friday.
Too damn Friday. We deserve it. And yes, those glasses are a nice switch up. I do like the blue light ones, but that's a good switch up here.
You know what it is? Is I realized I just am starting to look like a professor now. There are more quarter zip showing up in my closet wearing these glasses. I am balding at 31. Like, it all plays really well into like a professor that comes into the classroom and doesn't even say anything to start the lecture, just slams the book shut, gets everyone's attention in here. Now we're really on to something.
You totally look like the hipster professor out there.
There we go. College football hipster showing up here on Jhené and Golic Jr. We've got plenty of that to get to, Jhené, because we have another commission, another committee, another group surrounding the NCAA, the Knight Commission, this time around, that's released some suggestions. Like, again, it is committees, it is suggestions, it is very little that feels real, and it's already confused the hell out of me. So we'll get through plenty of that, Jhené, but we have stumbled upon something in our pre-show meeting today, Jhené. One of the biggest words in sports always tends to be accountability, right? And it's something from day one, and I'm sure you were the same way, I was always taught when you're talking in front of the public, when you're talking in front of people, the easiest way to get by is criticize the I and praise the we. And I would say, listen, you're someone still doing this at a high level and doing it in a way that I think a lot of people identify with, so you got to appreciate that.
And we saw a great shining example of accountability, leadership, stability, which translates to on-the-field success in Mike Tomlin. After the sloppy win, the Steelers going to 11-0, he takes accountability and said that was not good at all. And so, yes, as professional athletes, we take accountability over our performance. And then we have coaches and the best systems, the best organizations, the best franchises all take accountability and allows them to move forward. Accountability is the number one thing you hear in the world of athletics.
So, Jhené, I want to try and figure out how far accountability goes in creating goodwill, because we're seeing it and hearing it all coming out of Philadelphia right now. And we're hearing it in a couple of different ways. And so I want to try and take the temperature on this. First up, we have Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz, who this year ranks first in the league in interceptions, first in the league in sacks, 31st in completion percentage, and 30th in yards per attempt, standing up in front of his team, addressing them this week, taking accountability for his struggles in a gesture, and this is according to Tim McManus, our ESPN staff writer, in a gesture that is resonating well in the locker room as Philadelphia looks to snap a three-game losing streak against the, gulp, Green Bay Packers this weekend. So, Jhené, I hesitate to give this too much praise because this seems obvious, but I tend to be a little jaded at times. So I ask you, seeing this from someone who's supposed to be a leader on this team, how would this go over with you knowing how the Eagles have struggled, particularly with Carson Wentz at the helm?
So when I was at Stanford, when things were out of our control, my head coach, Tara Vanderveer, in the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, said, sometimes you just got to leave it up to prayer. And sometimes you just got to go play that prayer defense and just pray they miss. And this is what it sounds like out of Philadelphia. Now, I respect the heck out of Carson Wentz for standing in front of the locker room and trying to be the person that stood in front of everyone and said, hey, guys, I know, like, it's no longer the elephant in the room. I know I'm not doing my job. And maybe by acknowledging that, everyone else can have a sigh of relief. But what I'm looking at, bro, I mean, right now they're 3-7-1 with a tie, right, in the division. They're half a game behind the Giants and the Washington football team. And then I would do this now, too. It's a little bit of prayer, defense, prayer, offense, prayer. Let's get this win, because they got the Packers, who are like the number one scoring offense in the NFL. Next up, they got the Saints, who are, I think right now, the number one defense in the NFL. Then you go and, you know, play with the Cardinals, who can light up anyone on a good day. And then you have the Cowboys and the Washington football team to round things out. So if I'm them, like, this is the time. It just sort of seems like this is the back half. This is the final, I guess it's the final prayer.
This is the final prayer, and maybe starting that off by doing the right and obvious thing here for everyone. Because Carson Wentz has been the subject of all the conversation. Doug Peterson, his head coach, has been the one constantly having to address this publicly. And the rest of the team hears that, Shanae. And normally I would look at this situation and say it's a lot like, you know this, in sports, how many times do we see someone make an obvious glaring mistake that we all know is that person's fault, and they do the thing where they tap their chest and they look at everyone and go, oh no, that's me, guys. Like, well, yeah, no, we all recognize that in that situation, but I think with this team in particular, Chiney, just because there's been so much attrition on this roster, there have been so many injuries at key spots that they were expecting, that maybe this is something that can sort of be galvanizing for this group who looks around and knows there's struggle all over this team to go around. Maybe Carson Wentz doing this at this point in time is kind of what they needed to settle down, even though I don't think it nets them a damn bit of nothing against the very much better Green Bay Packers team.
Yeah, Chiney Ogunwike, Michael Jr., Chiney Ogunwike Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Now, it's really interesting you say that, because as you're saying this, you know, we pride ourselves as being two people straight out of, you know, locker rooms. And I feel like mentally, when we're in places that, like, our game is not where it wants to be, our team is losing, there are two ways about it. Sometimes you act like it doesn't exist, and then sometimes you have to jump in front of it and acknowledge it and just, you know, diffuse the room. And I think they acted like these problems didn't exist and that, like, we could just gloss over for far too long. This action is absolutely commendable, but the only thing is you have to know in that room that it took this moment, and I feel like this moment came a little too late.
It did, because it seems like call and response, right? It seems like people have been asking for this, and now they're getting it, and it's weird. Similar situation happening in Philadelphia basketball-wise, because remember, former Sixer Josh Richardson came out and commented and said the team had a lack of accountability in last season. Ben Simmons, the 76ers guard who is still there, was asked about this and had this to say when he addressed the press earlier.
We didn't know when we were going to get a bucket, who was going to get us a bucket. From that to, you know, knowing what we needed to be in at all times, you know, people being held accountable for certain things, whether it's a minor thing, it all plays a part. So he definitely was right. You know, we weren't in a position to, you know, go into that bubble and win. I think our mindset was off, and accountability is a huge part of winning. So you can't just come into a situation like the bubble. If you guys aren't ready, you don't have that chemistry and accountability already. You know, and Doc and I have spoken about it. You could tell the teams that were doing well in the bubble were tight knit, and were held accountable for, you know, certain things going on. And you could see it, you know, you could kind of see with the Clippers now, you know, things that are coming out. Same with us, you know, guys, you know, weren't held accountable. And that's myself included.
Chiney, the one confusing part of this to me, hearing this from Ben Simmons, is that it took him so long to get to the myself included, that there wasn't any talk, at least from what I've seen in the comments, and I've gone and tried to read them because I don't want to be critical of someone without knowing and understanding the full context of what was said. But in that situation, it's like, why weren't you holding anyone accountable then? If you're going to consider yourself in a leadership position enough on this team to come say this now, maybe it's a young player growing into this and I need to account more for that, but I just hear so much of this we, and I wonder where the me is, and as far as holding himself accountable and then holding others accountable.
At this point, I'm glad he is saying it. Now, I got a little nervous just because when you hear accountability and someone says accountability and accountability and you say it like 10 times, you're like, oh, is he just trying to like just push this notion, or is this what you genuinely feel? And he got to myself included, which is good, but people forget he's 24 years old. 24 years old, super talented, and still has a lot of, I guess you can say at times, like, there are insecurities out there, whether he wants to shoot or needs to shoot the big picture with his game, but at least he's there now. And I think the difference here when it comes to Philly, and I think our producer Cliff, who's a Philly stan, Philly native, would appreciate this on both sides, especially with Doc Rivers being there. It's not like he's this savior of a coach that's going to come in and say like, oh, my way or the highway, I know everything. What these guys need, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, especially in this moment, is a guy they can relate to. And what Doc Rivers went through with the Clippers on the highest stage, especially with the expectations of winning a championship there between Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, and then seeing that people had problems, he can say like, y'all, I had to exit stage left because this was not the right environment for me. And now we're in a place where, hey, I understand exactly what it's like to be in a locker room where people may not know their roles or people may not feel like they're living up to expectation. We can all work through this together. So at least there's relatability there. At least there's a smidge of accountability at the end for himself. But you just have to hope that this is the right coach that can keep them in check.
It's going to be very interesting to watch. And in that vein, we wanted to ask this question at Chinay, at Mike Golic Jr. Who in sports do you want to see held accountable in any situation? Can be any person in any level in here. If accountability is the theme of the day, because we're going to kind of see it show up in a number of different stories. Chinay and Golic Jr. reminding you to be a part of Chinay and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season is heating up, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you. Treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. Who in sports needs to be more accountable? We will get to that because one coach in one major market who is definitely on the hot seat right now held himself accountable in a way that is, I think, admirable but confusing. We'll get to who that is next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In like 10 minutes, the entire show staff watched my head almost explode in our meeting this morning because of one thing, the most inexplicable birthday present on the planet that we're going to get to in like 10 minutes. It's Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. But first, Chinay, we also had something that had us scratching our heads yesterday. Jets head coach Adam Gase came out, and going into the season, everyone said Adam Gase and what he's able to do developing Sam Darnold will go a long way in determining his job. Here was Jets head coach Adam Gase yesterday talking about his inability to develop their quarterback.
I came here to help him develop his career, and we haven't been able to do that. And, you know, that's why these next every game is so important, is keep trying to help him grow, keep trying to help him, you know, develop and see things the way that he needs to see them and play the way that I've seen him play in certain games. We need to do things well, you know, around him. But at the same time, it's on me to get him to play better than what he's played. And, you know, right so far, I haven't done a good enough job. You know, we got to do a better job as a staff. We got to put these guys in the best position possible. And then those guys got to go execute. I mean, it's on all of us. I mean, we all have to do a better job, and we have to find a way to put the ball in the end zone.
Chinay, we're talking about accountability. We mentioned it relative to Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. This sounds like accountability, but in the way that like probably ends up costing Adam Gase his job.
I don't know what to make out of all the sound that we've heard from him this week, but at least he's being honest and it seems believable and he's not waffling on his thought process. And it's true. His job was to develop Sam Darnold and then not to be able to deliver on that. That's an acknowledgement that we've all come to peace with. We've come to terms with, so much so it's like, just don't mess the top draft pick up. And so I guess this just is one of those situations where it's like, are you trying to be nice and acknowledge something with the hopes that this makes you more a better candidate for the future for another job? Or like, is this you trying to say something that maybe makes people think different? I just don't know the intention, but I'm glad he was at least being honest, because that's so contrary to what we heard before when it came to, oh, I do play calls or I don't do play calls and all that type of stuff.
It's so interesting to me, Chinay, because you're right. It's almost you're looking for some ulterior motive here, but I think the thing that we've seen and heard from Adam Gase so much over his tenure with the Jets has not been someone who I want to say seems like they're going to go out there and try and manipulate the media or use that time and to manipulate the setting. It just seems like a guy who's going to continue to be honest in ways that probably, again, don't reflect all that well on the way his job is going to be decided in this situation. But again, he's never seemed like a guy that's cared about that. He cared about doing right by this situation, and he hasn't been able to, and he stated it pretty plainly, and again, a way that seems like it's unfortunately, and again, like I hate to like laugh on this stuff because it's we're talking about people potentially losing their jobs, but we know it's kind of where this all seems to be going.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm doing my work, and I think there's a dog that's wilding out.
Oh yeah, there definitely is.
Okay, but okay.
I wanted to try and like give him room to see if he or she had anything to chime in and say on there. But
hey, pup, what's good? Yeah, us too. Uh huh. Yep, that's going crazy. I don't know what's going on, but I'll fix that in a little bit.
The Jets fan in Los Angeles, go figure.
Precisely, Jets fan turning up. You know what's funny? You were talking all about like the process, especially what we've just witnessed this past week when it came to head coach Adam Gase. And I was just thinking, like, it reminded me of a show that a lot of people are talking about right now, The Undoing. You're out here trying to figure out the motives for whoever committed the crime. And that's sort of what it feels like, this process of like, what's honest, what's not, what's real, what's not, like all that type of stuff. But I do think that the reality is that the Jets, you know, they might be looking in a position where they might have a new coach. Is there any other position or any other team that you're like, oh, they should be excited the same way someone could be excited to step into the Jets?
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And Janae, I think that's an interesting way to look at this now, because Adam Gase saying this, while it's bizarre and while it kind of fits into what this overall tenure's been like in New York, that's a job that, unfortunately, in Adam Gase's case, but we all are aware of the reality, probably going to be one of the open jobs this offseason, along with who we talked about yesterday, the Lions, the Falcons.
Texans
job already. And then we look, you know, the Chargers. I heard Ryan Clark before saying that seat already appears to be very hot. And you look around at all these jobs, Chinee, and I think provided the Jets are able to keep hold of that number one pick where they're slotted in the draft right now, that becomes extremely attractive, because Trevor Lawrence is billed as one of those Andrew Luck, John Elway type prospects. And so if you're able to get a hold of that, it's going to be interesting. And we'll have to take a look and see and start to gauge, because we're getting to that point in the year, what the jobs are starting to look like and who is going to end up being the most attractive opportunity this offseason. The number one overall pick, a surefire thing in Deshaun Watson, or a few of the opportunities in between. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. But coming up next, Janae, unfortunately, we got to hit a little close to home on this one.
I know.
Accountability is making its way to Houston, and we're not talking about Deshaun Watson. We'll do that next. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
In about 10 minutes, we're going to check in the land. Cleveland, this is for you.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
Janae, it's really
this
weird.
This is for you, Cleveland. Okay, continue.
Janae Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Well, it's interesting, Janae, because the Cleveland Browns are sitting in a position right now where they look like a playoff team. This is record-wise one of the best years they've enjoyed in God knows how long. I mean, the last time they made the playoffs was 2007, I believe. But it doesn't feel quite like that, and I want to know why. I want to know why it doesn't seem like this team is being celebrated the way it should be. So in about 10 minutes, we'll check in with a voice from the land and try and figure out what the temperature looks like on the ground there. But, Janae, I want to go to your backyard right now, because we've talked a lot about accountability today. And at Janae, at Mike Golic Jr., on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, who do you in sports want to see held more accountable? And before we get to James Harden on the court and what's happening right now, we have heard from Stephen Silas, the Rockets head coach, about how he's trying to play this situation, Chinee. Fair or foul, James Harden gifted the rapper Lil Baby $100,000, a Prada bag, a Richard Mille watch, and a bunch of honey buns.
Look, okay, James. Hey, James. What's good? How you doing? Hey, how you doing? You know, like, out of anyone here on ESPN that stands for my people in my city and still believes, it's your girl, Chinee. And my birthday's in March. And so if you want to, like, you know, help me out, like, that is obscene. That is amazing. And can we please put out your mother's tweet? Can you read your mother's tweet?
My mom texted me the video of all of this going on and said, honestly, the best kind of friend. He checked all the boxes. Again, to recap, as Lil Baby mentioned, a Prada bag because he's proud of me, a hundred bands, and a honey bun.
Okay, listen, stop. He got him a Prada bag, a hundred bands, and honey buns. Honey bands and honey buns. That's how you say it.
And a Richard Mille watch, which
Richard Mille watch.
Which, I want to translate here. I think rough value, according to Meek Mills, is a Richard Mille costs a Lambo. So whatever the going price of a Lamborghini is right now, we're probably in business there. Like, that's a lot of money to spend on someone that's not your flesh and blood, or that you're not married to. I'm very confused by all this, and I could only hope to find these problems of being this rich at some point.
Right, and this man also also turned down $50 million extension in a couple years. So, like, he's living all right. Again, my state of Texas, no property tax, all that type of, like, financial benefits. Like, this is where it all works out. But it's funny because Lil Baby, look, he's had a year. Like, male rapper of the year, because I got to still stand for another Houston's own Meg Thee Stallion. Like, they both, those are my favorite rappers this year. But, like, big picture here, that's James Harden. Like, that's the energy he likes. He protects those who he loves. So, and you can even add, like, P.J. Tucker. That's his ride or die. Like, that's the reason why P.J. Tucker last season was playing the five and not small ball, but micro ball. And so I'm not surprised to see this from James, because you see this consistently from him. And I think the problem we have here is that people have sort of taken it for granted, in the sense that he is a star, and in this league, the NBA stars must be consulted. Stars must get what they want, and he has to a large degree, but not so much so that he's felt like these last few years he's been able to dictate, I guess, at least enough of their success. Like, I think a lot of it was Daryl Morey's, you know, vision and new ownership transitioning. And now we're in a place where, okay, with all of this change, new head coach, new GM, I believe, like, their basketball ops, who's now the GM, I believe, of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who just had the number one pick, Gerson Rosas, was there for 20 years. A lot of turnover has happened with the Rockets, and the most consistent piece has been James Harden. And so he rewards people with consistent energy, and the Rockets have been on the, like, look, like, we on a naughty list, like, in his estimation, at least.
Well, it is interesting with all that, Chinee, because we did hear from Steven Silas, the Rockets head coach, talking about where he's at right now, the organization and him, what they've heard from James and what the status of that relationship is right now. Here was Steven Silas addressing the media.
I haven't spoken to him since the trade. And to be honest with you, when stuff like this kind of happens, where there's a little indecision and stuff going on, I kind of take a step back and allow guys some space. So from my perspective, my communication has been, I'm giving you space. And that's kind of where it's been as far as my communication with him. You know, guys like that need that. They need to figure it out. They don't need someone banging on them all the time to kind of figure out where they're at. And as far as the organization, I'm not sure. I can only speak for myself. But, you know, I'm looking forward to him coming, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the team looks like. I'm looking forward to the whole group being on the floor together.
Chinee Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Chinee Igwumike. And so, Chinee, you hear that. The head coach hadn't talked to his star player. And we know, going into any job, that is the relationship that needs to be nurtured the most. So does this make you feel better or worse about the long-term prospect of James Harden ending up here? Because we know where Tillman Fertitta and this organization stand. They want James Harden in camp. They don't believe that they have any reason to trade him right now. James Harden has indicated a lot otherwise. So does hearing this right now, what feels like a critical juncture, kind of make you worried?
I feel numb at this point. I feel numb. And this is the thing here. Steven Silas has done nothing wrong. This is a man who has been assistant coach in the NBA for at least 20 years, I believe. He started coaching alongside his father, former NBA coach, Paul Silas. And he's really done everything to get this head coaching position. This man is not who you have your problems with. Even though you would have liked to have more of a say, like, He was selected for the job. He's there, and he's going to show up, and he's going to do the work. He has a great attitude. He literally sounds sweet. He sounds so sweet. And, oh my gosh, I'm going into Stephen A. Mode. But, like, I feel like the issue is not with the coach, because it is what it is at this point. The issue here is, like, where do we move forward from here? If a trade is not imminent, can we work out a relationship where we still go to work and still be professionals? I am not shocked that Coach Silas has not spoken to James Harden, because he just seems like the guy that stepped into a new arena and everything is changing and he doesn't want to be part of any problems. He just wants to give people respect and space and let people in their time come to him. And that's what he's allowing, and that's the right thing to do in this instance. I just hope that, you know, the players eventually, like, at least air their grievances and understand that they still have jobs to do, even if that means your job might be elsewhere later on in this moment. Like, showing up to work does matter, especially when this man literally worked his way for this moment. And let's talk about it, because, you know, there are not many black head coaches in the NBA, and we always say, let's create opportunities, more opportunities for them. Well, here is a prime opportunity for a man who's been waiting and working for this moment. Let's at least try to get him off to a good start. And look at me, I'm like saying let's, because we're all family and all that type of stuff. But at least professionally, I feel like that's what someone who has given so much to this league, similarly like you, James Harden, and the rest of the Rockets, that's what someone deserves. I don't think James is like wrong for having harsh feelings. I just think that at some point we can all meet in the middle and see, you know, we have an understanding. We're going to try to get your best value. But right now we just need you to show up until we do.
Going to be interesting to see if and when he does show up. Again, James Harden has not reported to camp yet, so we'll keep an eye on that. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. But coming up next, the biggest game on the weekend might be between the Titans and the Browns. Have we found a ceiling for the star quarterback in Cleveland? And is that a good thing? We'll get to that next after this word from Mercedes-Benz. You ever wonder how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Starts with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships, backed by a sales force, ready to help you with everything from customization to service. On vans like the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, that's tailored to your lifestyle, with options like blind spot assist and MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather, and so much more. So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile really goes by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership today. And now with IRS Section 179, businesses can be eligible for up to a $25,900 tax deduction. That's up to $5,439 in tax savings. Options and model availability may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Some equipment described as optional. That $5,439 tax savings is based on 21% federal tax rate and eligibility to claim the full $25,900 Section 179 vehicle deduction. Your tax rate and eligibility may vary. Consult your tax advisor for more information. Limits may apply. Visit mbvans.com. Offer valid through December 31st, 2020. Why isn't there more noise in Cleveland around their football team? Next on Chenay and Golic Jr.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, I am interested in looking forward towards the game of the weekend here. It is the Titans and the Browns, which, again, on paper doesn't sound like the sexiest matchup in the world until you look up at both of these teams' records right now. The Tennessee Titans that lead a division and the Cleveland Browns who are 8-3 and trail only the undefeated Steelers in the AFC North. It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenay Igwumike. And you know what? I'm going to save coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to get you ready for the college football weekend coming up right now, and I have to have a debate about local slang and local jargon with Cliff, the producer on our show right now, because we have got a John versus Yinzoff going on in here right now, and I can't, this seems like to me when people from Staten Island and Long Island get mad at each other, I can't make a lot of sense of it. So we'll get to that in a little bit right now. But I've got major questions today about what's going on in Cleveland. So let's bring in Aaron Goldhammer with us, ESPN Cleveland's very own on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line, co-host of The Really Big Show. And Aaron, we appreciate the time today, man. I hope you're doing well. I'm just curious. The Browns are 8-3. We just mentioned they trail only a Pittsburgh Steelers team that is undefeated right now in the NFL. And yet I feel like on the national level, it's hard to get a blip on the radar for them right now. Is this the same locally, or are we just missing it now because the Browns are good nationally?
So, I mean, the Browns are going to not have a losing season for the first time since 2007. So to put that in perspective, there are kids that had socially distant bar mitzvahs this year at 13 that never in their life have seen the Browns over 500. So all of this, you know, they haven't beaten a good team. They didn't play well when they faced Pittsburgh and Baltimore all the way back in week one. Is Baker the quarterback of the future? That they may not be winning sexy. They may not be scoring style points. But the only thing that matters to Cleveland and to Browns fans is that the Browns are actually winning, which we kind of haven't seen at this level in almost a generation. So we're going to enjoy this as a December to remember because, you know, usually this time of year we're looking at mock drafts, whether we're firing our coach, and things are completely falling apart.
Aaron, I am curious to that end because we think of that oftentimes with the Browns, but I think the thing that comes to mind the most is the quarterback jersey with like 20 names attached to it that everyone's used to seeing around draft time. And we know Baker Mayfield is always going to be a lightning rod, but on the ground there in Cleveland, what's the assessment been of his play so far this season, knowing that this record has been markedly better?
This has been frustrating for me, guys, because Baker, for some reason, has become the player in Cleveland that you can't fairly criticize. Like, you know, we've had, you know, some big stars here. And it just, with some fans, it feels like if you say anything bad about him, like you're personally insulting their family or something. But I will agree, like most smart Browns fans know that the jury is still out on Baker Mayfield. And I think the really smart ones know that he's probably not the guy that's going to lead the Browns to the Super Bowl. Like, is he going to be able to go throw to throw with Patrick Mahomes? You know, that's a pretty high standard. But here's what I think, though. Like, Baker is the best quarterback the Browns have had since 1999. Now, that's a pretty low bar, but he's the best quarterback they've had since 99. And he's been average this year. And, you know, if he's a B-minus the rest of the way, the Browns are probably going to make the playoffs. At some point, they're going to have to make a decision about whether they want to go forward with average or whether they want to try to take a big risk and a big swing and see if they can get a lot better than average. But there are probably, you know, 13 or 14 quarterbacks in the NFL starting this week that Baker Mayfield is decidedly better than. And just because he's not setting the all-time record for touchdown passes thrown in, you know, every week, that doesn't mean that you should side-eye the Browns. They have superstars on this team. I just don't think the quarterback is one.
You're so funny. Aaron Goldhammer of ESPN Cleveland here with us on Chanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. You're so funny because you said, oh, B-minus, like that's a good grade. And on this show, Chanae and Gold Jr., we always say like, hey, we came from locker rooms where it was a job. Like, C's do get degrees, so that could get you in the playoffs. But how helpful has getting Nick Chubb back for a few weeks and then now Myles Garrett back, who said, you know, quote, COVID really kicked my butt and he really, you know, struggled with it. But now having him back, how helpful has this been for Baker and the Browns overall?
Now we're talking about the Browns superstars. Nick Chubb is the best running back in the NFL. I watch him week to week, and he makes plays every week that make my jaw drop. And I know that Kamara's great, Christian McCaffrey's been banged up, Derrick Henry leads the league in rushing. I'm convinced if he hadn't gotten hurt that Nick Chubb might be on his way to a 2,000-yard season and he would be in the MVP conversation this year. And I think he's the best Browns running back that they've had since, like, Leroy Kelly back in the 60s. I mean, it's been a long time since the Browns have had a running back of this caliber. And Myles Garrett's the best defensive player in Browns history, I think, going all the way back to 1946. He still may win Defensive Player of the Year, even though he got COVID and missed the last two games. In almost every one of the Browns' wins, he has made not just a big play, but a game changer, forced a safety, forced a fumble that led to an immediate touchdown. Those are two, I think, of the 20 best players overall in the league. And they're the kind of guys, even though they don't play quarterback, that could make a play this Sunday that could totally change this game and give the Browns a real chance to win it.
It's going to be exciting. Again, Aaron, it's, again, probably not the name brand sexiest matchup on the weekend, but I think it is the best matchup of teams that this NFL slate has to offer. So very excited to watch that all come together. We appreciate the time and the insight, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Aaron.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Aaron Goldhammer from ESPN Cleveland, co-host of The Really Big Show with us here on Chanae and Golic Jr., presented by Progressive Insurance. And that one kind of made everyone perk up in the room, Chanae, because we can talk about Baker until we're blue with the face, and Lord knows that we will. I think he's right. There seems to be a ceiling on this quarterback. Nick Chubb is the best running back in the NFL. Really kind of put a lot of people on notice in here.
I'm just like, when he said that and he was like, man, if he played the full season, everything would be better. I'd be like, you know, numbers would be through the roof. And I'm like, yeah, man, my fantasy team especially. You know what I mean? Like, we wouldn't be 2-8. We'd probably be 8-2. You know what I'm saying? And so when he said that, it just really struck a chord. And ever since he's been back, I've been winning.
It is a weird thing to consider with that right now, because Nick Chubb, when he's on the field, is a unique physical freak. And they happen to have two of them in that room. Like, Kareem Hunt is nothing to shake a stick at either.
Facts.
But the best running back in the NFL at this point, because of what we've had, injuries to Saquon Barkley, injuries to Christian McCaffrey, becomes an interesting question to consider going forward. We'll take a look at that, but coming up next, we got to head back to college this weekend. Why you shouldn't adjust your television sets when you're watching game day, and why we will not see any ounce of mercy in Death Valley this weekend. It's Chanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.